Every one of us here tonight is on a highway. That highway is the highway of life. Some have just begun their journey, and others are nearing the end. I've drawn a picture of this highway of life on the board tonight, and I'd like for you to notice that at the beginning of this highway, it's one road. This represents a time of our lives that we are innocent, a time of childhood. And if that childhood is the type that God intended, it's a happy time of life. The time of innocency, carefree. But then there comes a great dividing of the ways, a time that we call the age of accountability, where we become aware, I have sinned, and we become responsible for our sins. And at this great dividing of the ways, we have two highways. The top highway that you see, I want to call the highway to heaven. And this other highway that begins a downward descent, I want to call the highway to hell. That's my burden tonight, the highway to hell. I want you to notice that this highway to hell, it starts out and it's fairly horizontal. But as it progresses along the way, the slope begins to get steep. It starts getting harder and harder to recover yourself once you're on this highway to hell and you start getting close to the end. I don't believe it would be fair for people to begin the highway of life and then end up at the end of life's highway facing hellfire and not have any warning. So the Lord in His mercy has sent folks to warn us about this highway. In fact, our Savior Himself gave us a roadmap. I'd like to read in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew 7 and 13, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Straight means narrow. "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." You notice that Jesus gave us a roadmap to help us identify these highways in life. He wanted us to recognize when we came to the right gate. He said the gate that leads to destruction is wide, and there are many people going in there. I want to ask you tonight, how is it with your life? Do you discover that the things that are in your heart and in your lifestyle are the same types of things that you notice in the general world out there? I want to say you're on the wide way tonight. If we're going to be on this narrow way, we can't run the same way that the general population does. Yet there are so many people that are on the broad way tonight, and they feel like they're all right. In fact, there are preachers going this broad way too, and they're telling them, "You're okay. You're going to be all right." Jesus gave us a warning. Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it." It pays us to stop tonight and consider where we are on the highway and ask ourselves, have I found the right highway in life? Have you ever been on a long trip, perhaps driving through the night, and felt pleased with yourself, "I'm making good time"? And then things start looking like they're not right. Wait a minute. And you discover, "I've been on the wrong highway." And this sickening feeling comes over you. "Oh, I thought I was gaining time, and I was on the wrong highway." And you start thinking of a recovery plan. How many hours have I lost? Has that ever happened to you? It's a sick feeling, isn't it? Well, I tell you tonight, if you're here and you're on the highway to hell, I hope you get a sick feeling. I hope you realize I've been on the wrong highway, and I want to find the highway that leads to life. I want you to see a picture of the highway tonight. The first time I went to Nairobi, Kenya, I was amazed at what I saw. A city of over 3 million people. Most of those people don't have their own cars. So can you imagine a good part of 3 million people and a lot of those out on the street at the same time? There were rivers of people flowing down the sidewalks, overflowing them, crossing the streets, just rivers and rivers of people. I'd never seen anything like it. The highway to hell tonight has a river of people. People of all ages. People from every country, every language, every culture. People from every walk of life are on the highway to hell tonight. People from every religious background are on the highway to hell tonight. It is like a river of people. Oh, and sometimes I see this vision of a world rushing headlong toward eternity on this highway to hell, and I feel so helpless that God in His mercy has sent flagmen. I remember the news story in Oklahoma when the tugboat hit the pier of an I-40 column, dropped the bridge into the water, and I think it was something like an 80-foot drop. And if I remember right, it was after dark. And the cars, the traffic coming along 70 miles an hour, many of them couldn't stop in time. So here they came plunging into the lake, the river. And there were fishermen down there. And no doubt they were horrified. And they were thinking, what can we do? We got to stop people. They're plunging. Here came a truck and a horse trailer and all the horses in it. Plunge, splash, splash. And some cars would realize the bridge is out. And they would get to a stop right at the brink. And someone else who couldn't stop would come up and push them on over. What can we do to stop this calamity? What can we do? They got flares. They tried to signal stop. This is a highway of death. And that's what we want to do tonight. We want to send out some flares. We want you to know you're on the highway to death. The highway to hell is disastrous. It's a place of destruction. And if you're on it tonight, we want to plead with you to get off. I'd like to read Isaiah 5 and 14. Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. It says hell hath enlarged herself. Have you ever wondered why? Well, there's a river of people. A river of eternal souls that are pouring into this lake of fire tonight. And hell was never designed for the human soul. So she's having to enlarge herself to receive all the new occupants. Hell was not designed for your soul. And let me tell you something else. Your soul was not designed for hell. For the torments that are there. You can't take it. It's too much. In fact, it's too much for us to even comprehend the awfulness of it. Oh, if you're on the highway to hell tonight, I urge you, get off and find the highway that leads to life. Hell hath enlarged herself. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Tells us what hell was designed for. Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't designed for you. You're not going to be welcome there. I urge you to get off the highway of hell. Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth. I want you to see a picture of that tonight. Imagine if you were walking out in the woods and something flashed and it caught your eye and you looked down and you saw the open mouth of a rattler about to strike your leg. Not a very inviting picture. No doubt you've experienced the fear of staring in the face of a ferocious dog, teeth bared, mouth open, waiting for you. Makes you want to back away, doesn't it? What do you suppose your feeling will be as you begin to descend from the end of this highway and you see this big mouth opening for you? Imagine a dog being fearful. What would it be if you faced a lion and the lion's mouth was open and he was growling? Not a very welcome scene. Hell will fill you with a terror greater than that. I have done some snorkeling at the island Roatan. Roatan is surrounded by a reef. Inside the reef, the snorkeling is pretty pleasant. The water's not too deep, the waves are broken, but outside the reef is where the sharks are. And sharks are something I have a phobia of. One day I was snorkeling with some of the brethren in the congregation, and I was enjoying myself and I was getting away from the group. And in that particular place, the reef didn't have a sharp drop off. It was a gradual, like a gradual hill going down. And later when I got with them again, they said, "You were outside the reef." Well, outside the reef is where the sharks are. And they said, "But we was watching you." And I was thinking, thanks a lot. I can just picture sharks, this mouth open, coming at me. Not a very pleasant sight. Terrifying. Something unexpected. What will it be to look into the mouth of hell? I'm afraid you're going to experience it tonight. If you don't get off the road that goes to hell, you're going to find out what it looks like to stare into that open mouth. Oh Lord, have mercy on souls that are here tonight. Somebody here tonight is going to experience that. Run for your life if you are on the highway that leads to hell. What do you suppose the sounds will be like as you get closer and closer to that great unknown that none of us here have yet experienced? What kind of sounds are going to come to your ears at the end of the highway to hell? Is it going to be beautiful music that the saints describe when they have near-death experiences? Is it going to be a sound of rejoicing? Or will it be cries of agony and groans and shrieks, pleads for mercy? Will it be curses? I don't think it will be very pleasant. I want to describe something to you here tonight. Archibald Gracie was one of the survivors of the sinking of the Titanic. And this is what he described of the sounds. "There arose to the sky the most horrible sounds ever heard by mortal man, except those of us who survived this terrible tragedy. The agonizing cries of death from over 1,000 throats, the wails and groans of the suffering, the shrieks of the terror-stricken, and the awful gasping for breath of those in the last throes of drowning, none of us will ever forget to our dying day." It was permanently implanted in his memory, the awfulness of it, what he just experienced for a few moments. I wonder, or really I don't, as you approach hell's gates, will you repent of your sins then? Will you be sorry at that time? Will you decide it wasn't worth it? I believe you'll be thoroughly convinced. Just as the sounds of it began reaching your ears, "Oh God, have mercy on me. Is this really happening to me? I thought that was supposed to happen to someone else. Is it me, Lord?" Another survivor gave this account. "The Titanic was on end for several minutes. The only sound to be heard was the wails of those still on board, falling into the ocean, or those already in the water. The stern then began to sink straight down. Accelerating as it went, it plunged into the ocean and was gone. Titanic was gone. The greatest ship on earth. Did you know there's coming a time your life will be gone? No more trace. It's gone. The time was 2:20 a.m. In the spot where the ship had been moments earlier, more than 1,500 people now thrashed about amidst the wreckage, moaning and calling out for help as they slowly froze to death in the frigid North Atlantic. Those in the lifeboats knew they could not go back. A sense of helplessness. They would surely be swamped. All they could do was sit and listen as their loved ones died slow, agonizing deaths. Soon the wails ceased and the night was silent. I stood at the time-beaten portals, yes, where many a pilgrim had passed, yes, out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed. Yes. And musing in silent devotion, I seemed in my fancy to hear strains from the choir of the faithful. And musing in silent devotion, eternity seemed to draw near. And strains from the choir of the faithful, I seemed in my fancy to hear. I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years, and thought of the fate of the guilty when Christ in His glory appears. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost, for eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. What will it sound like as you're breathing your last? Maybe your loved ones are around you. Maybe they think you lived a good life. Maybe you left behind a testimony, but you really weren't clear. What are the sounds as their voices saying, "Dad, I love you," are fading away? What are the sounds that you will hear? The groans and the sighs of the lost. Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Their glory will descend into hell. The glory of this world that people are so hungry for will descend into hell. When I was about 17 years old, I visited Washington, D.C. for the first time. And it really made an impression on me. I remember touring the Capitol building. And the tour guide pointed out the painting on the underside of the rotunda, the dome. And he said, "The name of this painting is The Glorification of the Spirit of Washington." Well, the official name of that painting is The Apotheosis of George Washington. Apotheosis comes from the word apotheoin, which means make a god of. A painting to make a god out of President George Washington. What more glory could you ask for than to have the world make a god out of you? Did you know the glory of this world will descend into hell? What good is the painting doing George Washington today? What good would it be for me to have skyscrapers in New York City named after my name? Streets named after me, airports named after me, my name written in granite. Students required to learn about me in history. What good would it do if my end, the highway to hell, causes me to lose my eternal soul? The glory will descend into hell. Do you remember in the temptation of Jesus? It said, "The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them." Glory is tempting to people. You mean people would know me by name? You know, it makes you feel kind of good, doesn't it? People recognize my name. They know who I am. Do you realize who I am? People like that feeling, don't they? They like to feel like they're important. All that recognition and all that glory. Acts chapter 20, 12. Acts 12 and verse 21. Upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten up of worms and gave up the ghost. What more glory could you want than people to say that you are a God? Send me a little more applause. Thank you. Thank you. A little more. What happens when the last clap fades away? If then you are lost and forgotten, writhing in flames of despair, what good was the tens of thousands of people chanting your name in unison like they did for Adolf Hitler? What good is it when your highway ends in hell? I remember in the 70s, we had some Lebanese friends in Libya. And we went over to visit them at their house one day. And on the television was the leader of the country, Muammar Gaddafi. He was making a speech. And back in those days, he was very popular. Why, he had gotten rid, he had helped free them from the foreigners and all this. He was worshipped by the people. And as Muammar was making his passionate speech, he would come to a pause and the people would just rise with a chant. The glory of this world. What good is it if it ends up descending into hell with you? These things will descend into hell. And the scripture back to Isaiah 5 and 14 says, "And he that rejoiceth." He that is having a good time in this life, he that is partying to his heart's content, shall descend into hellfire. The scripture says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." He that rejoiceth will descend into hell. The partiers, you partiers out there, you're on the highway to hell tonight. I urge you to get off before you reach the end. If the folks that have made their destination in hellfire could speak to us here tonight, what do you suppose they would be saying? What would Adolf Hitler say tonight? Would he say, "Oh, it was worth it. You should have seen the power that I brokered. Why, it was fun toppling country after country. My brilliance, the military machinery that I put together under my leadership, missiles were developed that could reach England. We were in the stages of developing the nuclear weapons under my brilliant leadership." Is that what Adolf Hitler would say tonight? I don't think he'd care anything about that, do you? What about the young people that have been out drunk and partying and suddenly go out in a vehicle accident? Would they say it was so fun? I enjoyed the last party so much. Oh, that last high was sure good. It's worth it. Do you believe they would tonight? I believe they wouldn't think that was worth anything. I believe they would say, "Nothing but leaves have I gathered. Nothing but worthless leaves." What about the rich man? You should have seen the financial empire I built. You suppose he's down there in hell bragging about his portfolio? The fact that he made the Fortune 500 list, do you suppose? Or do you suppose that doesn't mean anything to him anymore? Have you noticed it seems like nobody's going to hell these days, according to the world? In fact, it seems like the world has these two highways flipped. The vast majority of the folks are on their way to heaven, according to them. But I want to tell you, if those things are in your life, you're on the highway to hell tonight. Don't let people deceive you. That was supposedly a Christian church. Deception. They're comforting people. You're all right. You don't have to do those things. That's what people believed 100 years ago. The highway to hell is full tonight. The river of people. Are you on that highway tonight? When people arrive at this final destination, they suddenly wake up. They suddenly realize what highway they were on. They don't believe in Hinduism anymore. They no longer believe that Muhammad is God's prophet. They no longer believe that we got here by evolution. And they actually believe there is a God.
Yes.
People wake up in hell.
Yes.
There aren't any dead atheists. They're all believers.
Yes.
But it's too late. Are you on the highway to hell tonight? Maybe you think, oh no, not me. If there's sin in your life, you're on the highway to hell tonight. Wake up before you get there. Mark chapter 9. Mark 9 and 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now this worm that it is describing is the kind of worm that feeds on dead bodies. Can you imagine a place where the worm won't stop feeding on you? An eternal damnation, an eternal death. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Whatever it is, cut it off. Whatever you're addicted to, whatever's hindering you from living a holy life, cut it off. It'd be better for you than having 2 feet to be cast into hell and into fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You notice it was repeated? Trying to get the message across. Where your highway is going to end. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Are you starting to get the sense of something that lasts and lasts and lasts with no relief? I hope you're getting that uneasy feeling tonight. I'm on the wrong highway. The destination I'm headed for isn't where I want to end up. I hope you're getting that feeling tonight. Psalms 9 and 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That includes our beloved United States of America. Shall be turned into hell for forgetting God. Are you on the Broadway tonight? Are you on the highway? Are you doing the same thing the rest of the young people out there are doing? The same entertainments, the same music, the same dress styles. Get off the highway tonight before it's too late. That's the Broadway, folks.
Yes.
Jesus gave us scripture to help us to identify it. It's not fair for people to end up there and not have any idea what it will be like. So the Bible gave us some comparisons to help us understand it a little bit better. The Bible compared it to outer darkness. Have you ever felt terror from darkness? I can't see anything. I don't know where to go. I am lost. There's a certain terror that comes with that. Trying to get you a picture of your destination at the end of the highway to hell. It has been described as a lake of fire.
Yes.
Not a destination I care to go to. A place of weeping, a place of gnashing of teeth. What a contrast to heaven. Eternal rest.
Yes.
A place of great comfort, great joy, where the Son of God is the light thereof.
Yes.
What a contrast. Which highway are you on tonight? A place where there is no love, no happiness. My grandma used to exhort people about hell. I remember that. It was stirring. And one of the things she said, there aren't going to be any little babies down there. I want to tell you, I love babies. When I was a teenager, before I was even married, I'd hear a baby crying in service sometimes. And you know what that did? It stirred a longing in my heart. I want one of my own someday. I love babies. And my grandson, oh, he's special to me. I love him. But if I choose this way that leads to hell, that love's going to be gone. There aren't going to be any little babies down there. Revelations describes it as a lake of fire. It's not a place I want you to go. It's not a place that I want to go. Ronald Belford Scott was born July 9th, 1946 in Scotland. Ronald became known as Bond. Bond grew up despising authority. And this rebellion led him to quit school at the age of 15. After leaving school, he held a series of odd jobs, driving a tractor, laboring on fishing boats, and working as an apprentice weighing machine mechanic. Bon Scott loved music and sang with the rock band AC/DC in Australia. In July of 1979, the rock band released an album with a song entitled Highway to Hell. Bon Scott described hell as party time and boasted that all his friends would be there. In the song, lead singer Bon Scott says, "Don't need reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing that I'd rather do. Going down, party time. My friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. Highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. No stop signs, speed limit. Nobody's going to slow me down. Like a wheel, going to spin it. Nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, paying my dues. Playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. Highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell." This song was released in July of 1979. The following February 19th, Bon Scott went to a friend's house for dinner, leaving at about 6:30 p.m. to go to a club in London. When the club closed its bar at 3 a.m., Bon left with an old friend, Alasdair Kinnair. Kinnair drove Bon back to his apartment at Ashley Court, but upon arrival, he couldn't move Bon. He was then left with one alternative of driving Bon to to his own home in Dulwich. Upon arriving home, however, he still couldn't awake Bond. He tried to lift him out of the car, but was unable to. He eventually decided to leave him in the car for the night and went to bed. Ken Eyre awoke early in the evening on the 20th, checked on Bond, and found him unconscious in the car. He rushed him to King's College Hospital, but by then it was too late to save Bond's life. Bond was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital. The autopsy was held on Friday, February 22nd. The verdict was death by misadventure, acute alcoholic poisoning. The coroner reported that Bond's stomach had been found to contain the equivalent of half a bottle of whiskey at the moment of death. Sometime during the night, Bond, who had been lying in an awkward position with his neck twisted, had vomited and choked to death. Bond Scott died alone. His highway to hell had ended. Are you on the highway to hell tonight? Sometimes the ends are sudden and unexpected. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost.
Yes.
But you hurry along with the pleasure mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? God in His mercy has sent messengers along this highway to hell. Young man, will you get off the highway tonight? Young man and all your revelry. Young ladies, proud and thoughtless, will you get off? Ma'am, how about you? Would you get... No. Sir, would you get off the highway? It's not where you want to end up. Please get off the highway. God sends them over and over. How about you? Will you get off? No. And people are rushing down the highway to hell. God have mercy on us tonight. I urge you, make a change and come tonight and get on the highway that leads to life. Amen.
Yes, amen.